Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. The fundamentals of the social contract are this. If you are willing to work 40 or 50 or however many hours a week that we decide is the requisite amount of good hard work, if you're willing to work those number of hours each week, you should be able to live in basic dignity. But here are the facts. In 1973, the top 1% of income earners took home 9% of all income. By 2023, that top 1% is now taking home nearly 27% of all income earned in this country. And more to the point, this. From the late 1940s to the early 1970s, worker productivity increased 97%. That's a great boon to the U.S. economy. That's the thriving middle class. And when worker productivity is going up to the tune of 97%, the social contract would say workers should take home that value that they are hoping to create. And indeed, over that same period, roughly 1948 to 1973, worker productivity, while increasing 97%, hourly wages went up 91%. Yeah, that makes sense. But from 1973 to 2014, while worker productivity went up 91%, average hourly wages increased just slightly over 9%. This is a breach, a betrayal of the social contract. We've got with us here today Sarah Anderson. She directs the Institute for Policy Studies Global Economy Project. And we're talking about one of the greatest breaches, the most basic tenet of our social contract. You work hard, you should get paid more. And that is the disparity between CEO pay and their average hourly worker pay, especially for low-wage companies. Sarah, we've been laying out the problem fairly well. It's only accelerated since the Trump tax cuts in 2017. Explain to us the connection between those tax cuts and what we see in this increasingly exorbitant disparity between CEO pay and average worker pay in especially low-wage companies.
Yes, absolutely. Well, that last big Republican tax reform in 2017, the most expensive part of that was a deep cut in the corporate tax rate for large corporations from 35 to just 21%. And what we heard during that debate was that this corporate tax cut was going to be good for workers. It was going to deliver big bonuses and higher worker pay, and the companies would pass, you know, their tax windfalls onto their workers. And instead, what big corporations did was they turned around and spent their tax windfalls on stock buybacks, more than $1 trillion in 2018, the very next year. And those stock buybacks inflate the value of CEO paychecks, but every dollar spent on those stock buybacks is a dollar not spent on worker wages or long-term capital investments that could make the company profitable for the long term. And so some of the ideas about how to address this problem of these extreme disparities within large U.S. corporations is to go back to the tax code and put in some incentives that would steer companies in a more equitable direction. So one that I'm a big fan of is we could increase the corporate tax rate on companies that have these huge gaps, and we could give them a choice. Look, either you narrow your pay gaps to a reasonable level, or we're going to increase your tax rate, and we're going to take that money and put it into public investments that can help reduce inequality. So if companies refuse to reduce their rates, they would pay more. There are bills that have been introduced at the federal level and also in about a half a dozen states. There's legislation that has been introduced to this. Two cities are already doing it in Portland and San Francisco, and raising revenue that they are putting into things like homeless prevention and other good social programs, because, you know, a lot of the workers at these big companies where CEOs are making, you know, $10, $20 million, these are workers who are qualifying for Medicaid, for food stamps. They're poor people, even though they're working hard and often are really on the front lines of keeping our economy going.
It seems anathema to me that in a company, whether it's Starbucks or Lowe's, Home Depot, Hobby Lobby, the gamut. And folks, we're going to post the link to the Institute for Policy Studies, their report on CEO pay in our show notes today. It seems anathema to me, Sarah, that at the very moment we're looking at CEO to median or average worker pay ratios of 600 plus, that these same corporations will oppose an actual living minimum wage. That is like astounding to me. If you can pay your CEO tens of millions of dollars, nay, 90 plus million dollars in the case of Starbucks, you should be able to pay your workers a living minimum wage. What should folks do if they're concerned about these gross inequities, Sarah, to help make this better? What should they be asking their elected officials?
Well, they should demand a raise in the minimum wage. We haven't had one at the federal level since 2009. That's pretty obvious. But they should be demanding solutions to the problem of overpaid CEOs. There are tools they can use. They can increase taxes on companies with big CEO to worker pay gaps. They can increase taxes on stock buybacks to discourage this financial scam that inflates CEO pay. So there are many things people can do, and we need to put the pressure on to make it happen.
I say eliminate those damn stock buybacks. They weren't here forever, and we should get rid of them. Thanks so much, Sarah Anderson. She directs the Institute for Policy Studies Global Economy Project. We'll put their report in our show notes today. Folks, when we come back, I'll talk about CEO pay right here in Wisconsin.